You are watching a master at work.
Hello, what's your name?
The Rooster.
I checked, I was the man on these streets.
It would be wise to remember that the same people would stop you from listening to
the DC Sports Pulsecast.
Maybe back next year to complain about a book or even a TV program. If you could be told what you can see or read, then it follows that you could be told what to say or think. Defend your constitutionally protected rights. No one else will do it for you. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. If you are a longtime listener, welcome back to the DC Sports Pulsecast. And if you are a new listener, you're in for a wild ride, my friend. I am the Rooster, and I will be hosting the show today. Unfortunately, we do not have Dr. Gonzo with us. He is at home cleaning the sand out of his vag, I believe. So, you know, that's a very delicate place down there. So we definitely hope that he gets better and can get back on the show, hopefully tomorrow. And tomorrow we will have a little Redskins preview for you guys, and we'll preview the rest of the NFL this weekend, as well as college football this weekend. But for today, I want to talk about the past. I want to talk about the Redskins losing to the New York Giants, and I also want to get into the first week of the NFL regular season, because it was a pretty crazy week, to say the least. For you gamblers out there, I'm assuming you guys got hit pretty hard, because there were some pretty big surprises in the NFL in week one. Before we get to that, like I said, I want to talk about the Redskins. Don't want to talk too much about the game, because it's already kind of been beaten to death this week. As I'm sure you are all aware, the Redskins lost to the Giants 16-7 in the season opener for the Skins. And while they did not look very good, and I don't want to make excuses for this team, but I feel like everyone's been getting really down on them. And I just think you have to wait to judge this team. You got to wait at least 3 or 4 weeks before I think we're really going to see what this team, and more importantly, the West Coast offense can do. So Jason Campbell has been taking the most heat this week. I really think he's going to get this system. I'll tell you why. First of all, his most successful year at Auburn, he ran a similar West Coast system. I know Zorn's is a little bit different, but he was very successful in that system, and he had to get the ball out quickly and make quick decisions. And also, what I was looking for against the Giants, while we didn't win the game, and while the offense was pretty much completely anemic the first half, there were signs that this thing could possibly go in the right direction. So we had the quick pass to Santana Moss for the touchdown. He was wide open, I know. It was right over the middle of the field, which is the easiest pass for a quarterback to make. But nevertheless, he got it out quick, and that's exactly what we want to do. We want to get the ball to our playmakers and have them run and make big plays. So he got the ball to Santana Moss quick. Moss was able to turn it upfield and get into the end zone. And then we also had a play to Randall L., if you guys remember, a quick slant over the middle. Campbell hit him in stride perfectly, and Randall L. ended up getting like 20, 30 yards after the catch on that. So those are the things that the Redskins are looking for in the West Coast offense. And for them to be successful, they're going to have to get like 5 to 7 of these plays a game. These short hitting plays where our athletic receivers can get the ball in their hands quickly and they can take off downfield and make a play for us. I know it's very easy to pick on the Redskins right now and Coach Zorn and Jason Campbell and this offense, but I really think we've got to wait a couple weeks and see if these guys can get it done, because I think they have the right personnel to do this. Clinton Portis, by the way, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't need to play any preseason games at all. The guy is a complete stud. I know people have said that he wasn't even really in a weight training program up until this year. But if you saw the blocks that this guy makes in pass protection, not just this year, but in years past, I mean, the guy is obviously extremely strong, whether he lifts or not. And this year he's been lifting, apparently, and it showed in pass protection against the Giants. He just flattened a couple people. So he's been a beast, and he's been strong running the ball. He had, I don't know, 80-something yards, had a pretty good average around four yards a carry. So I think he'll be able to carry us until until Campbell really gets this offense down. But again, I think Campbell will get this offense. So I think where we need to improve the most, other than our passing game, is in the secondary. And people have been talking about this all week. But here's some reasons why I think we are definitely going to improve in the secondary. First of all, Springs was out, so that's already a huge blow. We all know when Springs goes in there, he always makes plays. He's not a shutdown corner, but if you put him in there, he's going to provide blanket coverage on whatever side he's on. And then we've got Carlos Rogers coming back from a major knee injury. He gets the most flack out of anyone probably because he drops the most interceptions. But, I mean, just the fact that he's getting his hands on that many passes, that's a good sign, all right? That's definitely a good sign if he can get his hands on as many passes as he does. If he just catches, one or two of those, he could be in the Pro Bowl. So Rodgers, I think, is going to improve because, again, he's coming back from the major knee surgery. I think he's a good cover guy. I really do. He's got size. He can tackle. So I think we'll be all right there. And then Landry, remember, missed the entire preseason. And during the preseason, he was even saying that he needed about 6 quarters of work until he could feel completely comfortable. Now, towards the end of the preseason, when he wasn't getting any reps, he eventually said, "Oh, I think I've taken enough mental reps to where I can, where I'd be able to perform." But that's crap, because before that, he had said that he thought he needed at least 6 quarters in the preseason to get ready for the regular season. So now he's had four. He's had 4 quarters of real live game action, and I thought he did okay, other than getting absolutely trucked, absolutely abused by New York Giant running back Brandon Jacobs. But other than that, I thought he looked solid. So I think it is too early to judge this team. I think if we give them a couple more weeks, stick with them, I think they're definitely going to improve, and I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at the way this offense is going to end up moving the ball. So that's it for the Redskins. Now I want to get into last week one in the NFL, the whackness of week one, as I like to call it. You know, every year there's always going to be some surprises in the NFL, and this year is definitely no exception. But I feel like there's going to be even more parity this year. Well, first of all, you have Tom Brady going down, so there's the team at the very top, which I thought was head and shoulders above a lot of the other teams, is finally back down, with those teams in the middle of the pack, basically, in the AFC. So that's going to do a lot for parity. And then we've also got a lot of young players that looked very good. And we've also got a lot of teams that have been bad in the past, that have just been kind of flying under the radar, like the Bills, that have been drafting, that have had good draft picks the past couple years, and now that those draft picks are finally starting to pay off, and you're seeing that these teams are reaping the benefits of these draft picks. So I think it's going to be a very, very interesting year in the NFL. So the game I wanted to start out with was Atlanta versus Detroit, and I don't think anyone would have thought that Atlanta would have scored 34 points in their first game with a rookie QB, Matt Ryan, out of BC. I mean, I get it is against Detroit, and they do have a pretty bad defense. Remember what the Redskins' offense did to Detroit last year. So it's not like Detroit has a great defense, but still, I think it's pretty surprising that Atlanta can score 34 points with a rookie QB. And Matt Ryan, I think, is just going to be sensational. He's just got I just think he has the right demeanor to play quarterback in this league. It doesn't seem like he really gets rattled. He seems really mature for his age, and he really seems like the guys would respect him in the huddle and that he could run an offense. So his first pass from scrimmage is a 62-yard TD to Michael Jenkins. And Michael Jenkins, by the way, 6'4" out of Ohio State, really hadn't done much in the past. But I think that's more of the quarterback problem that they had in the past. I mean, they had Vic, who was phenomenal, but let's face it, he wasn't the most accurate or best passer in the league. So I think he's really going to benefit from having Matt Ryan, and I mean, he could be a stud. 6'4" out of Ohio State, was supposed to be great, has been disappointing in his first couple years in the league, but I think he could have a breakout year. So you got Matt Ryan at quarterback, you've got two good receivers, you got not only do you have Michael Jenkins, but you got Roddy White, who had a good year last year. So I think, their passing offense is going to be solid this year. I don't think it was really a fluke. And they were kind of holding back with Matt Ryan because they had Michael Turner, who had 220 yards rushing and just played absolutely phenomenal. So you got a beast at running back, and you got two good receivers, and those are going to be Matt Ryan's best friends. That's going to allow him to comfortably acclimate into this offense. And eventually, you know, I think he's just going to take it and run with it. I think the first couple weeks you're going to see him handing off to Michael Turner, you know, screen passes, short passes to get his confidence going. But after a while, I think, you know, midway through the year, we're really going to see him being unleashed. And, you know, he could have multiple 300-yard plus games passing, especially with the weapons they got on offense. I really think that they've got the right pieces there at offense. So that was the first surprise that I noticed. And then we've got the Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, a lot of people were saying that they thought the Eagles were going to be great this year. I was still kind of skeptical on that. And it wasn't because I thought McNabb was a bad quarterback. I never thought McNabb was a bad quarterback. I always thought McNabb could get it done. But I just didn't think, other than Brian Westbrook on the offense, I didn't really think they had the pieces. But they draft this guy, DeSean Jackson, at wide receiver out of Cal. And he is an absolute monster. He's sick. He's unbelievable. He had 6 receptions for 106 yards, and he also had, I think, like close to 100 yards in punt returns. He had one like 60-yard punt return. So he's going to be a phenomenal player for them, and he could be that missing piece, that piece that they've been missing over the last couple years at wide receiver. He's not a big guy, but he's a big play guy. So I think that's really going to help McNabb out. And you know what? Philly fans, I'm sorry, but you guys are idiots for booing this guy last year. I mean, he was coming off of a major injury, and anyone that thought that McNabb was not going to, I don't know if people thought that he was going to be as good as he was against St. Louis. I mean, threw for 360 yards and had 3 touchdowns, but anyone that thought that he wasn't at least going to come back to the level of like a top 10 NFL quarterback is just insane. The guy is unbelievable. He's still a little bit mobile, but he's got a great arm, and he's just got instincts that you look for at the quarterback position. You know, he's an athlete, and he's just a football player. Everyone in this league can throw the football, but there's not many people that are able to run an offense efficiently, and he's one of the people that can do that. So the Eagles absolutely blew out St. Louis. St. Louis sucks, I know, but 38-3 is still really impressive, and God, I'm really feeling bad for the Redskins right now. I mean, I know we shouldn't be feeling bad for them, but they are in such a tough division, and learning this new offense, it's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs this year. But like I said, I do think that they are going to definitely improve on offense. Whether or not that translates into wins or not, we'll still have to wait and see on that. So that was the second game that really caught my attention. And Michael Westbrook, 91 yards rushing. Anytime you can get your two stars, Westbrook 91 yards rushing and McNabb 361 yards passing, 3 TDs, 0 interceptions. Anytime you can get that kind of production out of your top two stars, you're doing something right. So the biggest surprise that I think from week one, and I think most people would agree with this, was Chicago over Indy. Chicago beat Indy convincingly, 29-13. It wasn't like a field goal at the end of the game. They ran over Indianapolis. So their rookie running back, this guy, Matt Forte, looks like he's going to be a future star. The guy's 6'2", 216 pounds. He's out of Tulane, and he is exactly what the Bears need at running back, because what they like to do is pound the ball and play good defense, and he allows them to do that. And not only is he a bruiser, but he's got speed too, as I think everyone saw in that 50-yard run that he had against the Indianapolis defense. The Bears, I think, this year are going to be, I think they're going to be good. I think they could be a playoff team. You know, we saw with the Ravens in the past when they went to the Super Bowl, and when the Bears went to the Super Bowl, strong defense and a good run offense can win games. As long as you have a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, and that's what Kyle Orton was against the Colts. He was only 13-21 for 150 yards, but he didn't throw any interceptions, and he didn't make any dumb mistakes. He didn't turn the ball over, and that's exactly what they need. While Rex Grossman might give them a little bit more pop at the quarterback position, he makes way too many mistakes for the type of player that he is, and the team just can't overcome the amount of mistakes that he makes. I think Kyle Orton's a perfect fit for them. He can kind of manage the game, let Forte run over defenders, and let that defense get the ball back to the offense. And I think they could be a really dangerous team. The last game I want to talk about is Denver over Oakland. There were some people this year that thought that the Raiders were going to be a good team. There were a lot of so-called NFL experts saying that the Oakland Raiders were going to be this really good football team. You know, they had drafted McFadden. They already had a good running back there. I can't think of his name right now. And then they had Jamarcus Russell, who was a number one draft pick a couple years back. You know, they got D'Angelo Hall at cornerback. So, you know, they thought they had their shutdown corner now. And the thing is, they do have good individual players. But as Redskin fans know, just simply putting superstars on the field doesn't mean that it's going to equate to you winning football games. You have to have a team, a good team. You can't just put together a bunch of superstars, pay them a bazillion dollars, and think you're going to win the Super Bowl. It just doesn't work that way. That's what makes the NFL so great. It's not like the NBA where you can get a couple big stars in the offseason like we saw with the Boston Celtics and win a championship. It doesn't work like that. You have to have a team, and the team has to be established over a couple years before you really see the production. So Denver 41-14 over Oakland. Didn't surprise me that Oakland lost this game. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be close. It didn't surprise me that it wasn't close, but it did surprise me that the Broncos looked as good as they did. I think Jay Cutler is going to be a top five quarterback in this league when all is said and done, when the year's over. The guy's unbelievable. He played with diabetes last year, and he still had a pretty decent year. He played with untreated diabetes last year. Now that he's being treated for diabetes, he's put the weight back on, and he just looks really good. And he's got a new target now. He's got this guy, Eddie Royal, out of Virginia Tech, who I vaguely remember playing at Virginia Tech. But, God, I mean, what a find that was. He never went over 500 yards receiving while at Virginia Tech in a single season. So that just kind of – and he's only 5'10". So you can see why he wouldn't have gone very high in the draft, but wow, that could be the big surprise this year, and he could end up winning NFL Rookie of the Year. I mean, I could definitely see him up there if he continues his production. I think he had like 130, 140 yards receiving. I think they also gave him a couple runs too. They gave him like a sweep, like they put him in the backfield, so he's really versatile. He can do a lot of different things. He just made D'Angelo Hall look silly. He can get open like no other. Very shifty. Very fast, and unbelievable hands. He made some catches in that game that were just unbelievable. So Denver looks like it's going to be strong this year. You know, they've got Jay Cutler. They've got two good receivers in Brandon Marshall and Eddie Royal. They've got a good receiving tight end in Scheffler, I believe his name is. You know, they've always got that good running game. So as long as their defense can step up and play well, and they definitely have the talent to do that. You know, I could see Denver being a playoff team too. So definitely a lot of parity in the league this year. I think you're going to find more than in years past. I know it's only week one, and you can't really say who's going to do well yet because you never know if these teams are going to be able to keep up what they've been doing. But as of now, I would say that there is going to be some major surprises in the league this year. And the Colts, I mean, losing like that to the Bears, I think the Bears are going to be a good team, but I don't think they're going to be one of the elite teams. And for the Colts to lose by more than two touchdowns like they did, that's definitely a big concern. So we could really see a shift in power in the NFL this year. So that is it for the show today. Make sure to check DCSportsPulse.com. That is the blog that we post these podcasts up on, and we've also got a bunch of articles on there talking about mainly local stuff, but some national stuff as well. And also check out Podomatic.com because we have our podcast posted up there. So that is it again for today's show. Make sure to check out the site. Like I said, tomorrow we'll be posting another podcast previewing this weekend's NFL games and college football games. So definitely stay tuned for that. Dr. Gonzo will be back tomorrow, hopefully. And until next time, if you keep listening, we'll keep podcasting. Out.
If you could be told what you can see or read, then it follows that you could be told what to say or think. Defend your constitutionally protected rights.